Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Oh my god, my knowledge is in demand. People are writing in private to me, DMs. JF, can you do this? Can you tell me that? Let's do it some of it publicly. STLA was saying, my wife is 35 weeks pregnant and our nurse mom... nurse mom. And the hospital is convincing her that she might need to get induced birth because of group B bacteria in her vagina. How do I help to prevent this? It sounds like they are tampering with a perfectly healthy pregnancy. This is so important. We need to think, I mean, we need to think, talk about so much of the hospital's desire to make themselves necessary. This is so important because it shows up when they talk about the B bacteria. It shows up in all sorts of other situations. First, the reason they would link a caused birth, induced birth, and a B bacteria concern is very weird to me, because it is absolutely efficacious against a B bacteria to give pills that the woman can take at home. If you are concerned about B bacteria that much, and I'll tell you about the numbers, it's not a big concern, but the statistical chances that this matters at all to your baby are extremely low. Listen, so someone who has antibiotics during the labor, and of course the reason they will want to induce the pregnancy is why? It's because they want to be present to do an intravenous antibiotic injection, because they think it's a little better. But the fact is, antibiotics through pills is totally fine. Why wouldn't she get antibiotics through pills if she is truly worried about GBS? So the B bacteria is a bacteria that they test for in the vagina. It's a regular bacteria that's out there. Could be on your counter, really. And it's like they test the vagina. The first thing to notice, one midwife once told me, there are no women walking around with unborn babies in their belly for years, which means that induction is not needed. All women will give birth. This freaking habit of the hospital to cause the induction of the birth because, oh, Dr. ABC is available, and, oh, it would be the right time because we have a low bed occupancy. These hospitals are triggering natural processes in women just to speed up their schedule and to arrange with the presence of the doctors or not presence of a doctor. It is such bullshit when nature has all that it needs to cause the birth at the right moment for the woman. Already by inducing, you are shocking nature. You're causing the body of the woman to start labor when it may not have been ready otherwise. It may not have the other signals that the body expected before giving natural birth. So, inducement, I'm not against it. If you want to do it, and if you're going to be at the hospital, sure, it's a tool to make your pregnancy and giving birth fit the reality of scheduling, so that you can decide, all right, I want to give birth now. But nature has a beautiful way to if you can just free your life so that over 2 weeks you just have nothing else to do than wait for the moment. Then you don't need inducement. Now, the reason they want to induce in the case of a B bacteria concern is because they want to be there at the right moment. They want to cause the labor to happen when they're there and they're ready to already inject an IV with antibiotics. Now, if you take antibiotics at the end of your pregnancy, according to the CDC, your baby has 1 in 4,000 chances of developing GBS disease. 1 in 4,000 chances, and that's if you tested positive for GBS in your vagina. So 1 in 4,000 chances, all of these babies will not die, by the way. Of this 1 in 4,000 baby, only 4 to 6% will die. The others will have an infection, they will get rid of it, they are healthy, and they will survive it. So calculate 1 out of 4,000 multiplied by, let's do it here, 1 over 4,000 multiplied by, let's give the maximum death rate 6%. You have 0.0015% chance of this killing your baby. And that's given a positive test. Okay, so bullshit that you need intravenous. Antibiotics in pill form work perfectly fine. We're talking about neutralizing a risk of 0.0015%. Okay, that's not caring about it and not knowing that your child is healthy. That's really the average human being, including the malnourished and the poor of America, okay? So if you are healthy, you eat well, you feel that your baby has developed well, you probably don't even have that level of risk. So what I was telling you, STLA, is the group B bacteria is such a secondary concern. The possibility of an infection of the baby, the likelihood of it is extremely small. Nature has all that it needs. Let us not forget that the baby is in a wrap that is filled with liquid, the amniotic sac. He may never touch the inside of the vagina. Furthermore, by letting nature do its thing, you are sure that the body of the woman has had ample time preparing for a more problemless birth. Finally, a mere antibiotic such as penicillin can be given to help prevent any problem with B bacteria. Those are all excuses to favor medical intervention, because that's what hospitals do. A healthy baby will simply not develop a B bacteria infection. His body is perfectly equipped to fight it. You have all sorts of features in the baby itself, in the wrap of the baby. Yeah, I mean, people like realize you come with a Q-tip. That's the GBS test. You come with a Q-tip inside the vagina of the woman. Oh, there's B bacteria there. Hey, the baby is going to pass through this tunnel in a wave of like 1 liter of water. It's going to splash through the amniotic sac that will rip apart. Very often when I see the baby coming out of the vagina, the baby is still wrapped in the amniotic sac. I don't know if you've ever gone through a birth of a baby, but you have the head of the baby coming out. The head of the baby is fully wrapped in a sac. So whatever GBS bacteria you may have detected in the vagina is absolutely irrelevant to what the baby will necessarily be exposed to. So I think that these practices, they're all ways to get the woman forced into the pattern of hospital dependency and the pattern of more intervention, more medication, more pressure, more schedule fitting, more professionals involved. Mama JF, by the way, is sharing on the regular chat the link to Indie Birth, dispelling 10 myths about Group B strep. Dispelling 10 myths about Group B strep. This is an excellent podcast. By the way, it's probably too late in your case, STA, because his wife is 35 weeks pregnant. You have to have your wife listen to Indie Birth. It's perfect propaganda if you want to set your wife on the path of a self-satisfying and empowered birth, because you won't feel empowered at all through this system of you need to be in this bed and you need to be in that angle and you need to give us access to your spinal cord so we can inject some fluid. Absolute bullshit, most of it. Nature is absolutely wonderful, and there is nothing that, like, look at your body and how complex it is. Notice how the liver hangs out at the right place and the heart just doesn't pop out of your chest. Those are all organs that nature cares about, but nature doesn't care about these organs as much as it cares about the baby surviving. So if there's one thing that is well-oiled, it is the birth of a baby by a woman. The rest is secondary. That's the primary concern of nature, that this channel works, that this whole delivery of the baby, the amniotic sac ripping out, the placenta going out well, all of it is super programmed. Fuck the extra, fuck the profiteering, fuck the experts. And by the way, I mean, I don't want to, this is not medical advice. I just want to journalistically report A friend of mine was so annoyed by these things, what she has done. She told me, JF, I felt that I have no choice but to do this. I'm reporting it journalistically to highlight the psychological pressure that women are put under by these hospitals. She took their Q-tips and she said, can I go do my sampling in the toilet? I would like to have privacy. She took the Q-tip, put it out of the little vial, didn't touch her own vagina, put it back in. Because the hospitals will judge you if you don't do the test. So she had to do the test. She was made to feel obligated to do the test. But she didn't want to have a positive test. She trusted nature. She knew that all would be fine, and she felt that her baby was okay and that she was in good nutrition. She basically gave them a false Q-tips by saying, oh yes, I dipped it in my vagina and I rolled, and she didn't do it. Consider this. I mean, it helps you consider the state of extortion under which women are living when you're stuck with these overly bureaucratic hospital systems who can basically consider you crazy for refusing their medical services. That's the big legal problem. It's, you don't want to piss off a doctor because you could be in the psychiatric ward not long after. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He sent two super chats. He says, Jeff, in my experience with multiple childbirths, I have to say that as an observation, most midwives are absolutely insane, heavily indoctrinated in their own bullshit, and in situations that called for calm, were completely neurotic. You learn this on the second child and after, where they leave you be. And he says, Jeff, as you pointed out, scheduling and profit motive is probably their driver. This is especially the case with C-sections. Book you in, rip the baby out, get you into recovery, then as soon as they can, send you home and repeat the process with the next set of parents. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's unbelievable, but an hospital can make much more money if they get a C-section and you recovering for 3 days than if they just get a healthy delivery with a nurse and nothing eventful. Now, your earlier super chat, your first super chat, yes, midwives, there are two categories of midwives. And the thing is, in socialist countries like Canada, the problem is in many places, if you're in a very civilized place of Canada, they will turn the midwives into reporters of the state, basically. They will give them their license, and then they have to follow the course, and then the course tells them, if anything bad happens, run to the hospital screaming and calling 911. So that is not the proper midwife that you want. Let me tell you, I love unassisted home birth. If you have a good husband who has the ability to drive, who has the ability to call out for help if you need help, unassisted live birth is absolutely beautiful. If you really want a midwives, let me tell you that the good midwives, they do nothing. The best a midwife can do is just stay there and support and give the confidence to the woman that everything is okay. It's normal to feel that amount of pain, and it's normal that you feel like this. Now, if you want that kind of midwife that is much less nervous, much less uninvolved, you literally have, like, ask yourself, in my environment, who is giving birth in the Amish community? The Amish communities, they know the right midwives to get. You know, they're they just have a network of women who are ready to do that job, who get paid to do that job. And those are not the midwives of the state with their license and all their fears. So I'm giving you all my tricks here. Go in the Amish community and ask for a midwife, for who are their midwives. Sometimes it's not going to be an Amish midwife, but it's going to be an Amish sympathetic midwife, which is why I have so much respect for the Amish community. Circumcision is a massive cash cow for doctors and hospitals. Really? How much money do they make from it? Very interesting. I mean, I guess a doctor cuts anything on your body, that must be at least $700. I mean, even a little nail surgery where they will repair an incarnated nail. I've seen 800. I've seen more. All right, and I have an email. People are asking questions about baby making. It's amazing. It's amazing. There is nothing that I would want any other than this. My community is interested in baby making and exchanging their problems with me. The guy, well, I will not name him. I don't know to which extent he wants to be named, but he signs a Sigma male. So let's call him the Sigma male. And oh my God, is that a Sigma email that he sends me? He says, "Dear JF, I have never had sex." Or, yeah, the title of his email is "Why I Choose Not to Have Kids." Okay, an argument for self-abolishment. "Dear JF, I have never had sex or had a social life. I have spent my life playing video games so far. I used to think that it would be a good idea to have children through a surrogate mother and live a simple life. I thought that it was important to spread your genes to the next generation. These days, I understand that this is not important. Your genes will not live on for long. Your genes will be far too spread out as time goes on. Your kids will only have 50% of your genes. This continues with every generation. Generation 1 shares 50% of your genes. 2, 25% of your genes. Generation 3, 12.5% of your genes. Generation 4, 6.25%. Generation 5, 3.125%. Generation 6, 1.56%. Generation 7, 0.78%. There is no way to trick death. You cannot leave anything behind once you pass away. Everything we have done will be forgotten, even if we are kings. So how should one spend his time here on earth? By getting ourselves as many good feelings as we can. My plan in life is to sleep with many beautiful women and give them." Okay, I will not read this. It's too creepy, bro. But he wants to have sex with beautiful women. "My only goals henceforth will be to make up for all those years I have spent alone while all my classmates brag about all the sex they've had. I have already lost so much. I can't waste any more of my time. Here's the good news. This world has more opportunities for travel and sex than ever before. Even if you don't have the looks to get a woman into bed in the West, you can go to far-off lands where hot girls will be waiting for you. And even if those don't want to have sex with you either, sex workers and sex buyers have the human rights to sell and buy heavenly nights there. It will feel just like having a real girlfriend who loves you. Those are my thoughts on life. Love, a Sigma male." Oh my God. First thing to notice is, oh, Mama JF has published very interesting links to Indie Birth, and there's one of their podcasts that is named "How to Keep the State Out of Your Vagina During Labor." That is a very important one. So to answer to the Sigma male in the email, you don't even realize you're a machine for what? Like, you are following your pleasures, okay? Why do you think you have these pleasures? Because nature has made you that way so that you would make a correlation between those pleasures you feel in your brain and having your dick in a woman and the success of your evolutionary line. So first, your quantification of genetics is extremely deceptive, okay? You cannot focus on the percentage of genes of you in a single individual without mentioning how, across the years, the individuals will multiply exponentially. You say after 7 generations, my descendants will only have 0.78% of my genes. But do you realize how many descendants you will have? Suppose you have three babies per generation. So generation one, 3. Generation two, 9. Generation three, 27. Generation four, let's do it on calculator. Generation four, 81. Generation five, 243. Generation, that's just having three babies per generation. You may have more, but just having three babies per generation. Why is the calculator not working? Okay, so you have 729, and then the next generation, 2187. And the next generation, 6,561. So you may find yourself with 0.78% genetic contribution on average in each of them, but you have 6,500 descendants at this point. So you actually have expanded your genetic representation in the world. Now, there's no reason why you would want your genome to be all packaged together. There's no reason why you would be disappointed about dilution of your contribution in the world, because that dilution precisely is what establishes a better world. It's why the future is always better than the past in evolution. It's why the life forms of today are incredibly more complex than the original life forms that give birth to them. The reason the future is better in evolution is this reassortment, which allows the best of you to dilute itself exponentially in the next generation, and the worst of you to dilute itself away and stop existing. So this dilution that you describe is not a rational argument to not leave an inheritance on Earth. However, your argument, other than this dilution argument, which I've just debunked, your argument is basically boils down to pleasure is fine. Pleasure is good, therefore I will seek pleasure. But this fails to examine the reasons why you feel pleasure. You feel pleasure in sex. You feel pleasure about getting loved by even by a sex worker, having the illusion of love. You feel pleasure because your brain associates this with a high probability of having children. It makes absolutely zero sense to be pursuing these pleasures without doing what the evolutionary reason for these pleasures was, which is the pleasure of knowing that you are allowing a next generation that carries your gene into this world. If you dissociate sexual pleasure from this, sexual pleasure will disappear with you. And as much as you may be disappointed about the 0.78% of you surviving in each of your descendants 200 years into the future, your pleasures will certainly disappear at the moment that you stop experiencing them, and even the memory of them will go away from the universe once you're dead. So it makes no sense to pursue these pleasures without knowing why you have these pleasures. You have these pleasures because the people who didn't have these pleasures have been eliminated by evolution, and the people who have these pleasures have been retained. But you will be eliminated by evolution if you pursue these pleasures in a way that is not linked to their ultimate evolutionary justification. And I will say this whole narrative that you do about your own life, your first idea was to have children through a surrogate mother, but now you've decided that you would only seek pleasure, have no children, and seek prostitutes in some Eastern countries. I think I detect in you a psychological problem, and you should fix this. You should fix this if you want to become a better man. And something tells me that the fact that your first consideration was not that a girlfriend could ever love you, it's that you could afford paying for a surrogate mother. I think you have a problem with females. Perhaps you have been betrayed, perhaps you have been beaten, perhaps you have been abused, perhaps you have been ridiculed or rejected by females. Perhaps you have low self-esteem, which makes you expect that you are not worth it to females. but you have a serious psychological problem in how you approach the female world. And what I would recommend to you is seek what is the root of this and find a solution to it. And whatever the root of it is, if it's abuse, you're going to have to realize that there are females who will not abuse you, or that there are females that you can handle in a way that they will not end up abuse you, or you will be protected from them. If it is that you just have low self-esteem, you have to review your vision of yourself, and you have to develop success that makes you feel good and that makes you feel like an important person in the world. If it is that you just have interacted with females before and they have rejected you, you need to fix the reasons why they have rejected you, and that might have to do with self-esteem problems. I cannot go deeper without knowing more about you, but this is what strikes me first foremost. The problem is there's so much self-cancellation like this by males who say, all right, the female world is too complicated. But let me tell you this, I feel just that like you. Like, I've been annoyed, I've been abused, I've been mistreated by women. And yes, you know, the first thing that stems to mind with me thinking about being with a woman is problems. Like, oh my God, there's going to be problem. Oh, she's not going to like that I'm like that. Or she's going to demand that I be more like this. I felt this throughout my life. At one point, you have to just decide, I'm going to play the game. I'm going to play the game of existence. And you have to see it that way. You know, whatever it is that the physical universe throws at me in terms of bullshit, I will just dig through it with a shovel. And I don't care if there's suffering involved. I'm in the game. I'm a player. And you need to outplay these women who are evil to you and find a possible path for you and a woman. Covey Killer Clown says, JF, this guy sounds like someone I know. He's trying to impregnate a meth head. His mother abused him. Well, yes, I feel that there is some kind of abuse or some kind of self-esteem problem in our Sigma male here. All right, now that I've addressed the gamers rise up, says Nicholas Petters. Yes, you have to game the system. At some point you have to say, I don't engage with this thing rationally. It's just a display that the physical universe throws at me just to test me. And I will resolve any test. I will pass any test. I will surmount any difficulty. I've decided to be a player. I'm in the game. Cloud Warmer says, JF, if you vet your partners properly, you should be able to find a decent woman, even in the modern world that is 7 out of 10 of the way there. Then if you maintain frame, lead by example, and pump her with kids, she will make the shift into what you desire on her own. Yes, I want I would like to disseminate this extremely idealistic and white-pilled view. I've seen shit in the world, and I know that, yes, if you have standards, you can eventually reach quality, but the thing is, there are so many traps out there. Women who will look fine until they're set with you, and then they become extremely evil. And it's very hard to go through all these bad woman experiences and eventually find the right one. All right, I was sneezing, sorry. Lodazal says, Jeff, could you link your interview with Colette? Couldn't find it last night. Okay, I will add it in the links. Well, there, someone put it in the regular chat right there. All right, let's talk about the news. Russia Today was talking about Twitter. Twitter is facing a devastating decline in heavy users. Twitter is struggling to keep its most active accounts open, according to internal research, which also indicates that topics of interest to English-speaking users has shifted away from advertiser-friendly areas. And someone was quoting this, Dissident Soaps was quoting this and saying, topics of interest to English-speaking users has shifted away from advertiser-friendly areas. I love this phrasing because, so you're telling me that you wanted to do your platform to be advertiser-friendly, but people are not interested in that content which you've imposed on them. They were interested in the content that they were producing themselves a year ago for you, or 3 years ago for you, before you started censoring them to get advertiser-friendly subjects on, which would lead you to get advertisers, but then you lose the people. And basically, it's such a hidden way to just say, people don't like what Susan Wojcicki wants to serve them. People like content of another kind, content that is more edgy, humor, dark humor. And you're going to have to, instead of trying to change the people, which has never worked, try to change the advertisers. Try to explain them, look, edgy humor is not bad for your brand. Your brand, as far as the people interacting with Twitter, they don't experience your brand as linked to what Papa JF says or what Kanye West says. They just understand the relationship between advertisers and Twitter, and they understand that then Twitter has its creators and its people who have accounts who are creating the content. They very much understand that Kanye West, if he makes a tweet critical of Jews, is not receiving money from the advertisers that are paying for Twitter. So why would you want to make these platforms advertiser friendly? Spotify CEO criticized Kanye's awful anti-Semitic remarks, explains why his music won't be removed. So finally, we have one of these CEOs who stand for some kind of artistic liberty. Basically, his reasoning is, okay, we condemn the anti-Semitic remark, but the music of Kanye West, of Ye, is not about his tweet, and it's not about his political ideas on that sphere, and we're going to let any music up from him. So it's funny. I mean, it may become the only place where you can get Ye's music, because the physical stores are going to shy away from it. He's getting canceled on collaborations with all sorts of companies. So we may very well end up with Spotify becoming the last stand of free music from Kanye. Very impressive. Kovi Clown has sent a super chat on Entropy. I will be reading it. However, before, I want to mention, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can do like Kovi Clown and send an Entropy super chat. He says, have you seen Stefan Molyneux bomb in the brain? Please analyze. Well, what is this? Stefan Molyneux bomb in the brain. I can Google it, maybe. Bomb in the brain. Is that on his BitChute channel? The bomb in the brain, the effects of child abuse. Okay, so it's a video from Stefan Molyneux on brain development and parental violence. Look, I haven't seen it. I don't think Stefan Molyneux has any particular insight on this. I know okay, it's on Odyssey. I could watch it tonight if you want. It's never been super fascinating, his position on this. He's creepily pursuing this thing of child abuse. It's not a problem that you will fix on YouTube. So it's like teaching the rapist not to rape. You're not going to fix parental relationships in society because the people who abuse their kids, there's very little chance that they will listen to your podcast. It's very likely that if someone listens to Stefan Molyneux regularly enough to hear everything he has to say about child abuse, that person is probably already pre-filtered to be not a parental abuser. Now, you may have a marginal effect. You may catch a few viewers who would have beaten their child, but don't do it because, oh my God, the facts of Stefan Molyneux have convinced me to do this. But I don't like it. It's yes, I guess that beating children is bad. Don't do it. It sounds totally fine. It sounds totally rational. I don't think we need to expand on this in detail. Perhaps it will be a subject of detailed interest for people who are fascinated with the brain. But of course, when if you beat children, you put them in their genetic state that is pre-programmed to be reactive to an environment of violence and of lack of trust. So they will end up developing into an adult that is living as if the world deserves a lack of trust. And in a way, they're right because this world allowed their parents to beat them. Covey Killer Clown says, he is not trying to fix abuse, it's analytical. Yeah, and he has a very much a philosophical approach to this, why it's wrong. But the problem is, I don't need to be taught that child abuse is wrong, philosophically. I really don't. John Drake says, I've seen it, it's all about his upbringing, a therapy session. Faceless Rogue says, on average, who is more likely to abuse the child, the female or the male? This is almost unanswerable because it depends on how you define abuse, and most of the time, abuse will be defined in a way that is male disadvantageous. It will be defined in a way to find male guilty more often. Almost all forms of female abuse are not considered abuse when you work them out into a working definition. So people will consider hitting as abuse, but they won't consider all sorts of emotional and psychological forms of harassment and abuse. So I'd be very careful at declaring that. However, I think I have seen a study that was looking at the killing of children. And the killing of children is more likely to be the male parent if the children are not his biological children. So if it's a father-in-law, he will eliminate the children who are not his, which is in line with what you would expect from evolution. But the very much more likely killer of a child that is the biological child is the mother. I think that it's a very common thing to see mothers going insane and for some reason being driven toward the killing of their children. Shrig Mamel sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Jeff, I had to break up with the woman I was with after I told her I wanted to marry her. She became an alcoholic that would hit me. She believed that I should have worked it out, as we both wanted to be committed, but I addressed the alcoholism multiple times to no avail. Well, Shrig Mamel, you are passing through a lot of shit, and I'm super happy that you are handling it professionally like this. You need to move on. An alcoholic who was beating you. Did I read that correctly? I was with her. She beca That would hit me. She was hitting him. Listen, there's no fixing this, and she will try to become kind again, and you'll be like, holy shit, she's kind now. Should I forgive? But there's no fixing behavioral issues of violence of that intensity. She will most likely always be a trouble to you. Even if you were, it's possible, by the way, to train a female not to hit you. But it's long. You're gonna have to self-defend through the process. It's be You should basically consider it humanitarian work. And to that extent, if you are a male of quality who thinks he can get something better on the market, it may be better for you to leave her and find better quality on the market. But yeah, alcoholism, very hard to undo, and the damage that it will have done will be hard. So it's all about how much of a humanitarian self do you feel being to fix her issues, and you will probably fix them very imperfectly. So know that when you go with the red flags that are as grave as this, it's going to be massive investments of energy, massive cost of psychology on your side, massive hurt. So maybe you're in a situation where it's the only choice, so you do it. But if you have other opportunities and you feel that you're a quality male and you're young, then there's no reason to bother with any of this. Shringmamel says she is so kind to me now that I broke up with her. She calls me 20 times a day if I don't answer. Yes, it is what it leads to. And this in itself is a red flag because she's telling you she loves you when you are denying her. So she cannot love you when you're good to her. So she cannot recognize how much of a quality male you are when you give that quality to her. But when you withdraw it, she goes insane and she goes fangirl style harassment. That is a red flag. It means that she has a fundamental issue with you being a good man to her, and that's ultimately a massive self-esteem problem. She thinks she doesn't deserve your goodness, so she really only loves you when you're evil to her. Evil being in her head when you leave her. Sorry you're going through this, says Nicolas Petris. Yes, I'm sorry, but at the same time, Shrigmamel's attitude with it seems super zen. Just get to the next, man. Just get to the next. Continue the machine. You have the right approach. You are attempting a lot of things. You are putting yourself in the statistical chance that it has to work. I mean, I know that you're young, so you do this. Do you really think it's possible to do what you're doing for 10 years and not end up with a acceptable woman? I don't think so. I think it has to be fruitful at some point in the future, and I think it's going to be sooner than later. So good attitude, Shrigma. Good denying, good dropping behind. You are self-protecting. I have no fear for you. You are headed to success. Kanye West, wax figure removed from Madame Tussauds. So a melting of the wax figure of Kanye. I've never understood those wax figure things. It's like tourism is so bad. They have so little things to show you that people go into these wax figure museums and they're, oh yeah, a wax figure. Oh my God, it looks like the real thing. Holy shit. I want to take a picture beside this wax figure. But now the wax figure has been completely melted in the forge of the museum, I guess, to produce candles, soaps, various maybe lamp oil. Maybe it will be given to Maybe Kanye's melted wax body will serve a cause. Perhaps they could sell the wax in the form of candles and soaps and whatever, and perhaps give it to an organization that will protect the Jewish people, whatever. I don't know what can be done. But Kanye's waxed body must be serving a better purpose than representing Kanye. Because, exclusive from CNN, Kanye's original title is Ye Album. The original title was Hitler. And people are suddenly coming out with this. I love that this guy has been hanging around Hollywood for years, just saying, I support Hitler, everything is fine, oh yes, the Jews, and they've been protecting him. They were saying that on a TMZ interview, he was talking about, I love Hitler, I love the Germans, and they cut it out. That was years ago. So it's like, you're telling me that this fact is so important right now that you have to talk to me about it, that this happened in 2018. But as a journalist, you recorded it on camera in 2018 and you lied to me the whole time. You didn't reveal to me that Kanye was a Hitler supporter. You censored it. Holy shit, it's like either it's an uninteresting detail and you may have censored it back then and you should not talk to me about it today, or it's an important detail and not only should you talk to me about it today, you should have revealed it in 2018. But no, there was this culture of silence. It's like, we all know that Kanye has this Hitler persuasion. He makes a defense of Mein Kampf, apparently, in a TMZ interview that was censored and not shown to the public. And yet they hid it all. They didn't talk to us about it. Phytosoraptor says maybe they can use the wax to fire up. I don't know what this thing is. I think it's a joke, Phytosoraptor. When I don't fully understand the meaning of a joke, I prefer deleting. Firestarter says, I think wax is a non-flammable. Oh yeah, sure. I mean, my understanding is that it evaporates slowly. That's why a candle is being consumed, but it's not per se flammable. It is the rope that's in the candle that's furnishing the flame. So a disturbing history of admiring Hitler. Several people who were once close to the artist, formerly known as Kanye West, told CNN that he has long been fascinated by Adolf Hitler and once wanted to name an album after the Nazi leader. A business executive who worked for West, who now goes by Ye, told CNN that the artist created a hostile work environment in part through his obsession with Hitler. He would praise Hitler by saying how incredible it was. I cannot believe this is happening. We have an insight. It's like with one tweet, Kanye West's history of being privately, absolutely in with Hitler and Mein Kampf and a true national socialist, a true Nazi, was just standing there in Hollywood, slowly becoming a millionaire, a billionaire. But one tweet, and suddenly everyone are exposing, yeah, you know, I've been with him. He's been kind of a Nazi. He's been kind of an open Nazi. He would praise Hitler by saying how incredible it was that he was able to accumulate so much power. And would talk about all the great things he and the Nazi Party achieved for the German people. The executive left his position and reached a settlement with West and some of his companies over workplace complaints, including harassment. The former executive asked not to be named due to a confidentiality agreement and fear of retribution by West. According to the agreement, West denied the executive's allegation. The executive told CNN that West spoke openly about reading Mein Kampf, Hitler's 1925 autobiographical manifesto, and expressed his admiration for the Nazis and Hitler for their use of propaganda. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I would totally expect Kanye would be the kind of mind that would be edgy, that would want to make that kind of joke, or that would kind of use the awkwardness of the situation to push this. It's always funny to do so, given that it's society's greatest taboo. This whole idea of Hitler, he's the ultimate evil personality of the current historical era is the archetype of evil. And so it leads to a lot of comedic opportunities. And for people who like playing at the border of awkwardness, of kind of autistic, super genius kind of meta points over what it means that we are so obsessed with Hitler being evil, I think it's the perfect tool, Mein Kampf, to make that kind of statements. Go away, says Jeff. This proves what Ye was saying with Lex. Ye said George Soros put George Floyd all over the media to exploit black pain. And yet the media has hidden past remarks from Ye about Jews. The JM is willing to put profit aside when it comes to protecting their own. I guess that you could see that Ye, having been exposed with how the media was protecting him for so long, you know, having been this, imagine you're an edgy comedian with a special personality, and you go around making jokes about Hitler once in a while, and you realize, oh well, I did it to TMZ and they just cut it out, so I'm being protected. And then suddenly all this protection drops because one of your statements about Jews makes it through Twitter. It is a commentary on propaganda and how the social world can veer all in a moment. Thomas says, I think this is all a joke, and frankly, it's annoying. Could be a joke. It could be just... when they start piling up on you, they might be just piling up on Kanye at this point. Very interesting, though, that the timing of this all and how Kanye, I don't know. When he reaches rock bottom, that's what I'm interested in. I like people at their rock bottom because that's the most frank expression of self you can have. It's not when you are at the top and the peak and everyone is like, oh yeah, gigantic super chats and everything and deals with Adidas. When I think of myself, my own life, and Kanye's life, I like to see what we can come back to when we are at the bottom. I like the little show we have here that is more frank, that I can do more jokes, that I can explore more subjects and be more myself. And I prefer that to having a bigger audience on YouTube. And I think it's going to be interesting. What is the rock bottom of Kanye? What is Kanye West without the Yeezy deals with all these big companies? Schumer has been caught on hot mic, admits to Biden that Fetterman hurt his chances in the Oz debate. So he just said, we're in danger, see? We're in danger, we'll see.
It looks like the debate didn't hurt us as much in Pennsylvania as it did, so that's good. And
it looks like it's not going to hurt too much in Pennsylvania. I don't know on what basis he says this. I think it's going to hurt a lot, but are you kidding me, Fox News? How do I get out of full screen mode? Okay, there it is. I think it's good. So basically he's saying it wasn't a good performance. The good news is that the damage is restricted. But I think it's looking bad for Pennsylvania for the Democrats. John Drake says, if you want to know who rules over you, just look for who you are not allowed to criticize. Absolutely. Daryl Brooks' mother wants to curl up and die after the verdict. She mentions her son was a caged bird. Daryl Brooks has been... the driver who drove through a Christmas parade and is now found guilty on all counts.
We have to move. People need to understand mental illness and understand people who are mentally ill are hurting. They're trapped.
Yes, but mental illness perspectives on these shootings and acts of killings of all kind, there's no evidence that mental illness professionals are able to stop such events from happening. People are noticing her pink hair. Yes, that is a red flag in and of itself.
And a lot of them don't know the way out. Show compassion to families who have loved ones that are suffering from mental illness. A lot of them are ashamed to even talk about it or to say he's crazy and don't want to have anything to do with them. But you need to, those people need help more than anything. Seek out treatment where there is. Speak up for them, be an advocate for them. And then when you see people out in the street, you see them acting, and you just laugh at them, joking, and you shouldn't wait. You know, stop and say a prayer. Because I sent Daryl early on a poem written by Maya Angelou called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
That was something she read to Daryl Brooks before he ended up killing people. Perhaps just not read this to your children, I guess. That might be the lesson to learn here.
And I learned that poem in the seventh grade for Black History Month. And I never thought about that poem.
So she learned about the cage bird metaphor from Black History Month.
Again. And the Lord brought it to my memory. And I remember back when I was a child, my grandma had a pet parakeet named Jerry. And I remember that so vividly. She would walk to the cage and Jerry would sing. He had a beautiful singing voice. And we all thought Jerry was happy because he would sing and twirl in his cage.
They were keeping a bird in a cage named Jerry, and they thought he was happy, but I think there's a suggestion that Jerry wasn't happy in his cage.
He's right in front of the window where he can look out in the backyard. And we thought, but then when I Lord brought that point to me, I pulled it up again and I read it again, and I realized that bird wasn't singing because it was happy. That bird was singing because he wanted to be out of that cage.
Okay, so reading the poem, she realized that the bird wasn't happy, that he was singing not because he was happy.
And be free. And I told Daryl, I said, you're this caged bird. Mental illness has clipped your wings, and those prison bars are going to be your...
It's not the best approach to be telling Daryl, you're this caged bird. Mental illness as its grasp over you. You need to redirect someone with mental illness toward productive endeavors. You certainly don't want them to, you don't want to call them a caged bird. There's really nothing we can do with you. You are truly trapped. Oh God. The amount of hurt that is made in this society by diagnosing people, you wouldn't understand just the massive harm we do. It's like there are people who might actually be better never being diagnosed, never being called mentally ill, and this may have been the case here. Like, you don't want to present the situation as you're in a cage and you're stuck there.
Okay. And, you know, no one's going to hear you singing. It's just going to fall in their ears. But I told him that, you know, he keeps singing till someone hears him. Hopefully, someone, this will bring awareness to mental illness via our senators and our governors and elected officials, court, police. And when these people come before the penal system, instead of them locking them up, say, hey, what can we do to help
and I'm still
become mentally?
I'm still not set on what would be his mental illness. I've talked very superficially about this on Patriotic Weekly Review yesterday. I'm not totally certain. There may be a little bit of schizophrenia that makes his creative drive and kind of psychotic pursuit of some legal points, but and they suggest that he looked like a psychopath, maybe a little bit. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure what would be his full diagnosis if we were to put his behavior in general on the back of a mental illness. It's clearly not a super distinctive one. It's like maybe some kind of autistic rigidity, maybe some kind of schizophrenic psychosis, maybe some kind of lack of empathy of a psychopath, but there's no really diagnosis for combining all these disease together. Normally you have the full disorder or you don't. Very hard for me to take a perspective on this.
Well, that's what needs to happen.
Do you think he can get help in?
No. Very little help is done for individuals who are incarcerated with mental illness. That's why I wanted him to go to a hospital where he can still get treatment, but that won't be.
I don't know what the treatment would be. Perhaps there's a chance. I'm thinking now that I'm hypothesizing out loud. There's a chance he might be bipolar. And that would fit with some of what we've seen, but I don't have all of the keys to confirm that he would be bipolar. But I don't think there would be much. I mean, they could give him a mood stabilizer if that's the case. I don't have evidence that he has those waves of anger and then waves of hypoactivity and hyperactivity that are typical of bipolar, but if he had this, then the path forward might be mood stabilizers, but they will not fix all issues. They will just flatten him out a little bit. John Drake says, you can't be sure, there is no way to objectively diagnose mental illness. Yeah, but you know, when I see a clear case of schizophrenic delusion, I know it. When I see a clear case of autism, I know how to see it. Definitely here, we're not in that clear of a domain based on the facts we have. Perhaps if I could interview him and talk to him, we would have some more facts. trans activist who interviewed Biden as a fetish demeans woman online. So apparently this person who interviewed Biden, her past on the internet has been revealed, where she was demeaning woman, making comments such as ripping Mulvaney as a man with a fetish, comparing her misguided representation of woman to blackface. When I first see this, my first initial thought is this not akin to blackface? The African-American community would, and rightfully so should, be outraged if I put on makeup and came on here and identified as an African-American and created TikToks called Days of Blackhood. And okay, so that's actually an interesting point. Why is the left going crazy with blackface, but not going crazy with a man dressing as a woman? It seems to me that there's the equivalent amount of appropriation of someone else's identity and ways of looking. And, you know, and then maybe some leftists would answer to this. Well, JF, blackface is associated with a history of specifically mocking black people, whereas the drag queen show and you know, making the black people look very bad through this imitation. And the answer to this would be, drag queen shows and transgenderism are also putting comedically exaggerated representations of the other sex. You know, drag queens are dressing more fabulous than any woman would ever care to dress. You know, they are going out of their way to be the most feminine they can be looking. And this leads to comedic exaggerations of the same kind that would be expected in blackface. So to me, it's not clear at all that the leftist has an answer to this. I think that's why leftism has this huge cognitive load cost to it. It's because they have to sustain these absolutely incompatible beliefs. You cannot be super offended by blackface and vow allegiance to transgenderism and say that's okay, and in fact it's a proof of courage and amazingness. Go away, says JF. Blackface is intentionally disparaging. If you dress like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, I think that would be okay and pretty cool. Well, as I just made the case, drag queens are exploiting an aspect of comedic exaggeration that is equally intentional to the one in blackface. So I don't know how you would answer to that. Exclusive, Candace Owens is backing away from Kanye, won't interview him on the show. That is one of the great disappointments of this whole affair. Candace Owens had a chance. You know, there were moments where they kind of tried canceling her because she made these little edgy comments. And there was kind of half apology and half, oh, you misunderstand me and this is not what I meant, and here's what I meant. There was a time at which she had made some edgy Hitler comments, and it all went away, and being an employee of Daily Wire, a Jewish outlet, she seems to have gotten out of it. But she had an opportunity here to show some kind of racial allegiance, what I would encourage her to have. I mean, at least be as sympathetic to Kanye as I am. not only do you have this kind of independent thought, supposedly, as a commentator and journalist, you have a private kind of intimacy with him in just, you know, having done stuff together and being his friend. And on top of it, you both are black and are talking about issues of the black community. It seems that Candace Owens would have more reasons than even I to be sympathetic to Kanye. But she's towing the line of the Daily Wire, which is, it's a big loss because, you know, I look at someone like Roaming Millennial, a free-thinking conservative thinker who has made a path for herself on the internet. And I look at someone like Candace Owens. I think they pretty much have the same level of brains. And Candace Owens could have had a big future in being an intelligent and more weighted commentator that doesn't fully subscribe to the mob attitude. But being employed at the Daily Wire seems to be forcing her away from this and being more with the system than someone like Roaming Millennial, who's always had this kind of independence to her contribution. So it's really too bad. They're saying, based on a private source around Ye, we spoke to a person close to Ye. Yeah, he actually still has people close to him who tells us that Candace has been slowly trying to distance herself. Candace is privately still supporting Ye, but publicly she is walking a fine line. She works at the Daily Wire and they don't want to have to do with any of Ye's anti-Semitic comment. Thomas Howard says, sad, really? Sad. Initially, I was radicalized by Candace Owens. Now Kanye has taken me all the way to the other side. Raised Fist says, just playing devil's advocate, JF, people in blackface are not black. Men dressing as women are real women. Oh, well, if you want to. But that's precisely the cognitive shortcut you need to justify this cognitive tension. It's like, these two ideas are so ridiculously contradictory to each other, you need to change the definition of a real woman to fit it in your brain. St. Louis shooter, school shooter's family sought mental health treatment for him and had his gun taken away, police said, yet tragedy still unfolded. This is exactly why, you know, They and even the mother of Daryl Brooks was saying the same thing. It's like, we need mental health intervention. Do you know this? Do you know if mental health interventions are capable of stopping shootings? I don't know this. Mental health professionals have never been evaluated on their ability to do this. We don't have a system that would rate them by success and that would say, okay, this psychiatrist is good at not having shooters, and this psychiatrist is very bad at not having shooters. We don't have a way to quantify this, so we don't know. And yet you have everyone assuming, if I bring my child to the psychiatry ward, everything's going to be fine. One thing that needs to be taught to people is the psychiatry ward does not have solutions to all mental health problems. In fact, they may not have much other solution than just keeping people away from society when it's the only choice you have left. Other than this, they don't fix very much people. They are a place of support for people who don't know what to do. There's no medication available for a lot of the mental health issues. You won't find a medication that works, that doesn't have too much side effects, that truly abolishes the symptoms. So this assumption that the psychiatry ward, you've done the right thing. I've brought my child to the psychiatry ward, I've done the right thing. We don't know that. We don't know that the psychiatry ward can help reduce future occurrences of violence against society. That's the only way they can do that is by restraining the person and restraining her liberties. But most of the time, they won't do that. And most of the time, the person will be clever enough to get away from that system and will tell the psychiatrist, look, I'm okay now, you can free me. And there's nothing you can do. So, and taking the guns away, same thing. Have you ever considered the possibility that taking guns away from a young person is just radicalizing them further? Because now they understand, if I put my hands on a gun next time, it may be the last second I'm holding a gun. So I gotta get to the action as quick as possible. By having such an efficient system at taking arms away from people, you may be provoking more straightforward violence, more irrational, act fast type of violence. You may be actually teaching them about the system that deprives them of gun rights, and therefore they will be more careful at showing symptoms and at showing signs that they are likely to cause violence. So all of these are not solutions to the shooter problem, sorry. I know that society likes to deceive themselves into thinking that it has these solutions. It doesn't. All you hear is a couple of leftists on media and YouTube. They will tell you, oh, we need better intervention. But as far as we know right now, you may be very well causing this violence with your interventions. There is no evidence in the world that would allow me to truly know whether you're causing or helping with the violence. Naberius says, and there's never enough care, if someone was deep in the system and checked by mental health professionals regularly. Oh yeah, you're going to create a kind of immune resistance. So let's say you have a system that covers 99% of the potential shooters. You're going to have shooters learning, all right, how do I not get into this system? Oh, I shouldn't be sharing on a drawing at school that I'm thinking about violence. I shouldn't be telling my parents that I have hallucinations. And eventually you're going to have an immune resistance type of response in the violent population. Daddy's Data Dumper says, parenting is the best way to stop the shooter problem. The system is no substitute for the family. Maybe it is. Even that, I don't know. Like, could good parenting... It's clear that there is a correlation between bad parenting or single mothers and poor care and psychopathic criminal behavior and shootings. That is true. World's largest Bitcoin miner, Core Scientific stock, is down over 70% today. I don't know about them. I don't know what causes this, but holy shit. 70% drop. I hope you guys weren't having some of those stocks. I don't trust stocks of Bitcoin miner. I don't care about this thing, but I only keep Bitcoin. You have to keep Bitcoin. COVID Killer Clown says, Jeff, I was in a lot of pain during the beginning of the hoax to a doctor, and I said I wanted to kill myself. I went to the hospital for 30 minutes, explained it was a mistake. They took my gun away. I moved states. Now I may or may not have guns. The captain's a turd. I don't know what the captain's a turd means, but interesting story. It is true that interstate, you know, oppression of rights is poorly coordinated across America. And changing state is very often a solution to resolving all of your problems with the state. Unless you're being pursued by the FBI, let me tell you, just go to a more right-wing state. As long as they harass you, as long as they oppress your rights, just go to a more right-wing state, and eventually they just leave you be. That is absolutely true, and I totally get what you mean. But because your name exists in the folder of your former state, they have all this documentation on you, they could fuck you up, but you're in another state and no one knows, and they'll never get access to these papers. So yes, that's the way. If you've made an error, if you've ruined your reputation with psychiatric wards in your area, change area. PayPal reinstates the 2,500 penalty for misinformation. Holy shit, these motherfuckers. They are dirty. They are absolute creeps in how they downplayed this. They said, oh no, we're not fining you for misinformation, and then they reinstated it. All they wanted is to remove the breadth of the movement. They wanted to remove the momentum to this movement of cancel your PayPal account. But people on Gab saw through it, and even when they said, oh, we're not gonna fine you for misinformation, you had people on Gab say delete your PayPal account still, because it means they're gonna get there eventually. They're gonna get back to it, and they're already back. Just following the PR crisis, PayPal again updates TOS, hoping you won't notice. Unbelievable. It's so, how do they call this? It's cynical. It's like, oh, we're gonna lie to people by changing the TOS for a couple of days, but we're gonna put it back then. It's so cynical that a financial institution would think of doing this. This is a beautiful piece of a tree. Look at this. It looks like an extraterrestrial ostrich or something looking at you. And I wonder if there's some revelation through this picture. Is it possible that this picture reveals that ultimately the form of a neck and a head is a natural form that emerges from simple mathematical considerations? I don't know. But it does look exactly like a bird, and you think, my God, perhaps whenever you develop something in layers and you develop a tube through it, it ends up looking like a bird, and that's why a bird looks like it. It's because its embryological development is based in layer. A super chat has arrived. Philosoraptor was saying, forgive me, I couldn't resist for his joke. Well, no problem. I see these jokes miles ahead, and I delete them even when I don't fully understand them. Enlightened Despot sends a super chat. He says, our French ancestors, I've always had a gun over the fireplace. That is our ancestral right. I would be very careful about having a gun over the fireplace. First, access to it by children would be extremely dangerous, so you need a locked storage. Second, I wouldn't store it on top of a fireplace where there is likely to be a heat draft, a draft of heat going up. Because I've been handling guns in my life, and I always have this fear of an accidental discharge, and even when handling the bullets, I have this enormous fear. So I'm always handling the bullet in a way that if it was to explode accidentally there, it would go in another direction than mine. I know people say, well, you know, when they explode accidentally, they don't have as much of the sifting through of the barrel of the gun, and so they're not dangerous, but still, you never know. An accident can always happen. So I'm always very careful at keeping the bullets away from heat sources of all kind. Okay, now he's saying it was just rhetorical. Don't put it actually on top of the fireplace. Well, then I agree with you there. Shrigma Mel, who was earlier talking to us about his love life, sends a super chat. He says, it seems as though once you state to females that you would like to be committed to them, they have higher potential to become crazy. Perhaps they feel as though they get a pass at bad behavior due to the stated commitment. Perhaps they feel like, oh God, I don't need to display anymore. And so it's not a bad idea to tell them commitment relatively early, because then you can see what's their bottom. Again, we're back to this theme. I love people at their rock bottom, because then you know what's the worst you can expect. So yes, when you commit to them, you may get the worst, and so you have to determine, am I ready to live with this? With this worst case scenario. Tucker Carlson says, Trudeau's maid euthanasia program is about to become a lot more common in Canada as a way of cutting down on healthcare costs, as a new law will allow children to be killed by doctors without the approval of their parents. I don't know. I'd have to know about the details of the law. I haven't seen it, but is it true that children will be able to be killed without approval of their parent? That would be absolutely stunning to me. I mean, sick. But it wouldn't be that surprising in the current context where they can be sterilized, they can be gender changed without parental consent, they can be gender changed if their mother wants it but their father doesn't want it. So, man, that is scary. I hope that this description is wrong. And finally, our friend Travis Patron, who was once on this show, is in jail. He has been sentenced to 1 year for promoting hatred against Jews. Patron also ordered by Saskatchewan judge not to post about Jewish people for 1 year after the sentence. Apparently, he had made a video in 2019 promoting anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ views, and in it he was using the term parasite and talking about excluding people from nations, saying they needed to be excluded. So that is the reason that I'm reporting here for the purpose of news reporting. That is the reason why he is in jail. Too bad, you know, he was a... I don't know, he always struck me as a good guy, maybe, that I would take barbecue with. Not a guy that would realize great political accomplishments or would win in the political arena, but just a guy who showed up, who was there, and he was fun to talk with. So in Canada, the rules are getting very, very tense for hate speech, and so be careful. Go away, says Jeff. Do you think if he reposted Ye's clips that would violate his court order? That sounds like it would, if he was to make an action that seeks to spread a view, even if it's a repost. It seems like it would. Carl Butt says, wow, Canada has changed so much since we used to go there every year. I don't know. Were you coming here every year and testing our free speech laws? Were you coming here and to watch the Niagara Falls and then yell racist statements in the street? Because it seems that if you are coming here once a year, that you would not necessarily know whether hate speech laws applied to you. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all to all the people who are sending me these questions about personal life. I appreciate that you guys are so open about your difficulties because much of the time, what you guys are talking to me about, I've been through it. I've been through it many times. Even, a little problem like the guy who wanted some information about the B bacteria and birth, I've heard these things. I've talked to midwives before, and this is a recurring subject. So Mama JF has published her Indie Birth, a superb podcast by. These women are a little woo-woo, they're like energies. I feel the energy of self and everything. But other than this, they are an extremely good resource to just make good propaganda to your woman so that she says, "Oh no, I want to give home birth. I don't want the hospital birth." Or at least if I want the hospital birth, I want to have control. And I want to let it happen in the most natural way possible. And there's nothing better than indiebirth.org. It will be in the list of HTML links right below the video as soon as the show ends. Much love. Thank you all for being here. And bye-bye. Thank you.